good?
Yes.
Entertain a motion to come back out of recess into regular session, public hearings.
You got it.
Motion, Mr. Wilson, second, Mr. Phillips. Any questions? Take the vote, Mrs. Deemer.
Yes.
Mr. Cole.
Yes.
Mr. Phillips.
Yes.
Mr. Wilson.
Yes.
Well, yes, motion carried. Mr. Moore.
Yes, thank you, Mr. President. I'm going to read the rules for procedures for the zoning hearings. When council holds public hearings on zoning applications, they are legislative hearings because council uses the information obtained during the hearings to decide whether to adopt an ordinance to amend the comprehensive zoning map in the manner requested by the applicant. Sussex County, in its zoning and land use decisions, does not discriminate against persons based on race, color, religion, national origin, disability, familial status, sex, creed, marital status, age, or sexual orientation. Public comments made on the basis of bias and stereotype concerning people within these protected classes will not be taken into consideration by the county in its deliberations. Each application shall be announced. The director will review with council the minutes and testimony from the P&Z hearing, and those minutes will be made part of the record along with any exhibits introduced at the P&Z hearing and any recommendation made by the commission. The applicant will be called on to present and explain their application, present reasons supporting the application. Council may question the applicant and their witnesses. After the applicant has presented their application, council will provide an opportunity for anyone else who favors the application to speak. Excuse me. After that, any persons who oppose or question the application will be allowed to state the reasons for their opposition or questions. After that, there will be no rebuttal by the applicant, and the hearing will be closed unless the council decides to leave the record open for a specific purpose and time period. Further, the applicant will not be allowed to question persons who speak in opposition, and persons who speak in opposition will not be allowed to question the applicant or their witnesses. If you intend to speak, you're required to come to the front and stand at the speaker stand. State your name and home address before you make a statement. Please sign the sign-in sheet at the speaker stand. If you represent or speak for a group or organization, please identify who you represent. When you make your statement, please be concise. Do not repeat yourself. If you have a written statement, hand it to Mr. Lank and it will be made part of the record. If there is more than one witness for the applicant or more than one person in opposition, please do not repeat points that prior speakers have already stated. All persons in attendance should conduct themselves in an orderly fashion. No applause or other disruptive behavior is permitted. And if you have a cell phone, pager, beeper, or other telephonic device, please take the time now to turn it off or switch it to silent service.
Now you turn it off.
That was a test.
I just assumed it was Mr. Wilson. At the conclusion of the hearing on each application, council may either approve it, deny it, or defer it to a later date. If the Planning and Zoning Commission deferred action, council will do likewise. And the first hearing today is conditional use 1978, John W. Davidson.
Mr. Moore, I have a potential conflict with this applicant. I've used his services recently, and I will excuse myself.
Okay, thank you.
Right. We're narrowing them down.
I can go answer that phone call then.
Is he a cousin of yours, too, George?
My wife.
Your wife's cousin.
This is an application to consider the conditional use of land in an AR1 agriculture residential district for a professional office with contractor storage to be located on a certain parcel of land lying and being in Indian River 100, Sussex County, on a parcel containing 4.64 acres, more or less, lying southwest of Route 5, also known as Harvison Road, 1,915 feet northwest of Route 48, also known as Hollyville Road, and being identified on the tax roll with the tax map ID, District 234, Map 10, Parcel 70.16. The Planning and Zoning Commission held a public hearing on this application on February 13th, 2014. The applicant provided an exhibit booklet, which council members all have in front of them. DLDOT provided comments. County Engineering Utility Planning Division provided comments. John Davidson was present with Heidi Gilmore, attorney with Tom Razor, providing testimony. There were no parties present in support of the application. Dale Coker, an area resident, stated he was not in opposition of the application, but expressed some concerns about drainage, that his yard floods, the that runoff is not being maintained, the ditch is not being maintained, that the infrastructure should be completed prior to additional buildings, and question business hours. The commission discussed the public hearing on February 13th. There was a motion and a second and carried unanimously to defer action for further consideration, to leave the record open for Mr. Johnson's participation if he so chooses. That motion carried 4-0. On February 27th, 2014, the commission discussed this application under old business. Mr. Smith stated he would move that the commission recommend approval of conditional use 1978 for John W. Davison for a professional office with contractor storage based upon the record made at a public hearing and for the following reasons. One, that location along Route 5 near the Indian Mission intersection is appropriate for this type of use. It is in an area where other commercial and business uses exist, including a car sales lot, warehousing, a mini storage facility, a boat sales and storage facility, a house moving and masonry yard, and others. The State of Delaware Solid Waste Authority transfer station is also nearby. Two, the use will provide a service to Sussex County residents. The applicant's business involves the reuse of dwellings and other structures that would otherwise be torn down when redevelopment occurs. Three, the proposed use is consistent with the Sussex County Comprehensive Development Plan, and it promotes the orderly growth of the county. Four, the project will not have an adverse impact on traffic, as the proposed use does not generate large amounts of traffic to and from the site. Five, the use will not adversely affect neighboring properties or the community, as it is an extension of an existing commercial and business area. And six, this recommendation is subject to the following conditions and stipulations. A, the use shall be limited to professional offices and contracting, including the applicant's masonry, dumpster rental, and house moving business. B, although permitted for use as the applicant's house moving business, the site shall not become a sales facility for used or relocated houses, mobile homes, or manufactured homes. C, all security lighting shall be screened from view so that it does not shine on neighboring properties or roadways. D, no junked or unregistered vehicles, trailers, or similar equipment shall be stored on the site. E, the final site plan shall depict all areas used for outside storage, including A, vehicles, trailers, and similar equipment, storage, and parking. B, storage of house moving materials such as beams, axles, dunnage, jacks, etc. C, materials associated with the masonry business. D, construction dumpsters. E, structures temporarily moved to the site while in transit between locations, and F, any other outside storage associated with the applicant's business. F, the final site plan shall contain the approval of the Sussex Conservation District for all required stormwater management governed by that office. G, the final site plan shall be subject to a review and approval of the Sussex County Planning and Zoning Commission. H, the project shall be subject to all DLDOT requirements regarding entrance and roadway improvements. And I, the hours of operation on this site shall be from 7 a.m. until 5 p.m. There was a motion by Mr. Smith, seconded by Mr. Burton, carried with 4 votes to forward this application to Sussex County Council with a recommendation that the application be approved for the reasons and with the conditions and stipulations stated. That motion carried 4-0 with Mr. Johnson abstaining. I did receive one additional comment since the commission's public hearing was faxed or emailed to us on March 5, 2014. It was signed by Glenn Urquhart, Urquhart and Company. States, I am out of the state for a while and would like to have my comments made. The mail just caught up with me on this conditional use. Please present my concerns. Excuse me. We own the adjoining property to the southwest titled Norwood Farm, which is approved and recorded for 34 single family lots. We're concerned about a contractor's yard adjoining us in general, especially since there are indications that the property will be used for salvage operations. We have these particular concerns. A, where are the undefined outside storage areas to be located? We ask that they not adjoin our property, but be held to the area between the office and the 9,000 square foot storage building and screened. B, we feel that the planning and zoning should at least require a 30 foot landscape buffer strip between this parcel and our recorded residential home lots. C, would the council please require such a 30 foot landscape buffer strip and specify appropriate evergreen screening and landscaping. I would assume that my neighbors to the east with the horse farm and homes would also want said buffer. Thank you, Glenn Urquhart.
Sound like a hurl? Okay, go ahead.
And that's all the additional comments that I've received to date.
Mm-hmm. Any questions from council?
Do you have anything in the file from hurdles?
No.
Nothing?
Nope.
Okay.
Okay, if there's no additional questions from council, Ms. Gilmore?
Good evening, or good afternoon. I'm used to being here at night, sorry. For the record, my name is Heidi Gilmore, and I'm with the law firm of Tunnel and Razor. And with me here today is John W. Davidson. If you could just raise your hand, Mr. Davidson. He owns East Coast Structural Movers, and that's the applicant for the conditional use today. So this site is right on Route 5 Mission Road, major corridor there. And he currently has a site just around the corner from here. It's about 600 feet from the current site where he has his current operations. The purpose for this conditional use is for him to have storage for his current operation. We did submit a proposed site plan in our booklet and with the application, and I would like that booklet moved into the record if we could. On that site plan, you'll see that there's a proposed dwelling in the front and a storage building in the rear, and the rest of the area is left open. The proposal was to have about 5 employees utilize this site. The property lies within that stretch of Route 5 on any Mission Road that already has established businesses. Almost all of them are zoned C1, including Mr. Davidson's current site. And as Mr. Lank indicated, Pontoon Express is C1. The industrial storage complex that's owned by Harold Dukes is C1. The Crossroads Auto Works. And then we also have the Delaware Solid Waste Authority just to the south on Route 5. We don't foresee any traffic issues. The proximity to his current business, and we're not really changing the use, is a good representation of what he's going to have now. We will be seeking DLDOT approval once we get through the county process. He is proposing to have lighting downward illuminated as is in the proposed conditions. The building would be locked, secure. They're also going to have fencing there as well. The hours of operation, we did not propose hours, but I know that they were suggested by planning and zoning. He has no problem with 7 a.m. to 5 in the winter. In the summer, his current site, he starts his operations at 6 a.m. He does not believe that that's going to cause a problem with the surrounding area with noise or anything. So, but during the summer months, he would like it to be 6 a.m. This is not an adverse use that would negatively impact surrounding properties or property values, as the applicant already operates in the area and the use is already established on the nearby site. The use is consistent with the other uses and trends for this area. He does provide a valuable service, as Mr. Lank indicated, with house storage or house moving. You know, it promotes good jobs, a good tax revenue for the county. He is in good standing with the county, no issues that we could find of record, and he's very well respected for how he runs his operations, not just by the county, but many state agencies as well. The proposed conditional use is consistent with the Sussex County Comprehensive Plan and the low-density classification that this property's in. The plan indicates the types of business in that area should be agro-industrial type uses, which we believe this is the perfect example of that. And lastly, the proposed use promotes the health, safety, morals, convenience, order, prosperity, and welfare of the present and future inhabitants of Sussex County, and the adoption of the conditional use is for the general convenience and welfare of the inhabitants of Sussex County. We can answer any questions you might have. I'll ask Mr. Davidson to come up and state his name and address for the record if
doesn't it like. Back up to Hurdle's house? Eddie Hurdle's line.
No, there's an open field.
Okay.
Between the site.
Between them and the house.
I don't know how many acres is between them, but it's a large field.
Okay, he'll tell.
State your name.
John Davidson, 30281 Holly Mount Road, Harbison.
Do you know how many acres are between you and Mr. Hurdle with this site? It's a large open field.
Probably around 50 or so, probably.
Acres?
Probably.
I got the impression that it was a lot closer, so I was wrong. No. Okay. All right.
Any other questions from council?
Well, I wondered, you listened to that letter from Mr. Urquhart. Did you have any comments on that?
No, really, if he's wanting 30 feet, I don't have a problem with that at all, because the very back of that piece of ground actually does curtail down some. And it's not been tilled in years because of another person that owned it for a while. And there's actually some trees starting to grow up in it. And I was just going to leave it like that. I'm letting it grow back natural in that back part, because I don't have much use for the back part of it.
Is that between you and the house I was talking about? No.
No.
Different
no, that's, okay. It's going mm-hmm. facing south.
Okay. And there have been flooding in that area. You think that would? I'm concerned about that. But that's, of course, up to the
Conservation
District. What's that?
I think where they're talking about some flooding's been before, that partial ground isn't even joined to where what I'm looking at.
Good, okay.
And,
good.
You know, I'm not responsible for those ditches.
For the ditches, uh-huh. I understand. Okay.
Any other questions from council? If not, Ms. Gilmore, did you have anything else?
No, I do not.
If not, is there anyone else here today that would like to speak in favor of this application? Anyone that would like to speak in favor of this application? Seeing none, is there anyone here today that would like to speak in opposition to this application? Ma'am, would you come forward, give us your full name and address, please?
My name is Deborah Coker, and I live at 23100 Hollyville Road. And what I am concerned about, I am not actually opposed to Mr. Davidson's building. I understand that if he wants to expand his business, that is wonderful. The thing I'm concerned about is drainage and flooding. This is my home in 2009. And I live on Hollyville Road, and the water from his property comes towards my property. And I have spent a lot of money regarding drainage for my flooding. And I want him to be responsible enough to put ditches or pipes or anything of that type so I won't flood. That's my concern.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you.
Is there anyone else that would like to speak in opposition to this application? Anyone else? Seeing none, Mr. President, this time we can close the public hearing, and if it's the desire of council, can close the public record on this matter.
Okay, I have a question, Mr. Lank. The idea, Mr. Lank, of this her issue of the flooding thing, is that something that will be looked at by soil conservation for this site plan? They approve it?
In the site plan review process of the conditional use, one of the requirements is an approval from Sussex Conservation District.
Okay.
So we'd have to look at the design of the proposed facility for whatever's going to be disturbed. If they're staying away from the rear, they may not really look at that drainage. If Mrs. Coker or her husband have been to the district and had any kind of discussion with it, you know, about that rear section of the property, they may already be looking at it and may give it consideration when they review the site plan.
Okay.
Because what is the best way for us to assure that doesn't happen, but that the house did totally flood out?
Well, one of the conditions is that it has to have approval from the conservation
right,
district.
We
already knew that.
Okay. All right. So
that's a condition of approval that we require
right, okay.
before we grant final approval.
Yes. I just want to make
That's one question
a
I have.
Point of
there were two issues that were brought up. If the council wants to act on them, the hours of operation on condition I states 7 a.m., and I did hear the applicant's attorney request for the summer 6 a.m. as a start time. And the other question came up was a 30-foot buffer by the letter, if there was any. If the council does want to address those issues, we should move a change on those before we vote on it.
Okay.
Yes.
We need to We need to then close, and then, right? So we'll close the public hearing, and that's, okay, with council, close public comment.
Well, let me ask you a question first. I was personally asked to see if we could get in the conditions some sort of visual protection for hurdles. And he's talking about a row of vegetation, but that's not particularly on that side. So I was wondering if that's, I just want to make it clear that I did ask for that. I'm wondering if that's going to be any hardship. I can't imagine how that would, that far away, that's going to be a problem. What's your opinion on that? I don't want to disappoint him. I want to say that I did speak up.
If you're looking at the tax matter, property to the, on your, by your left hand would be the Norwood Park, or subdivision, which is the
right.
Norwood Farm.
Okay.
That's what Mr. Urquhart's letter referenced. That's where he wanted to
put
that site.
Okay. And this is his site.
Hurdles own the property to the north. According to the surveyor, it says now or formerly. It could mean it's been transferred to someone else.
Oh, but here's his land goes right up to the line.
It's an now or formerly statement on the survey.
Oh, it's not there now?
No.
Okay.
Not according to the survey. It says now or formerly. It could mean that was a previous owner.
Well, she gave me the impression that it is their land. She said it was their land, so... Do you think is in the cards I could do about it?
Yeah, she's here.
Well, I guess we'd have to.
You can make a motion.
To do whatever.
Well, she just wants, doesn't want to see the look at the equipment. You know, all the time. It is her land. It goes right up to us. His and her, the farmer and the teacher.
Lawrence, is there anything proposed there now for a barrier?
No, the only thing that the site plan shows is a proposed 9,000 square foot storage building. It's proposed to be 20.4 feet from the side, which is the side setback requirement.
Right.
That's the minimum at 20 feet because of the size of the structure. Actually, it could be 15 feet.
Mm-hmm.
But it's not being rezoned. It's conditional use.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
It says the hurdle property is adjoining them to the north side.
Right, that's what she's concerned about.
Mm-hmm.
Which,
okay.
They may want to develop that. I don't know if that's
an acreage tract. The property to the far left of the drawing is the Norwood Farm, which is Mr. Urquhart's
question
about this buffer there. Harold Dukes' property is to the south side, and Julie Ellis Hall, and some of those names. They say now or formally, and Slice Chef means now or formally. It could be three deeds back.
Sure.
So I don't really know who the current owner is.
Sure.
Mm-hmm.
I guess, Mrs. Deaver, when you talk about this.
She wanted to see if there could be some
something to be visually to break up the.
Yes.
Is it just where this building would be?
It's the equipment, I think, that she's concerned about, outdoor equipment and that kind of thing. And so what do we have that... Mr. Urquhart was asking about putting something behind a building or something, you know, that type of thing.
Where will the outdoor equipment be stored? If you could answer that question,
outdoors.
Sir. Yeah, come on back up here. Yeah, you speak. You can talk to us for sure.
What would it be that would be so...
On this drawing right here, where's your equipment she's talking about being concerned about seeing? Mm-hmm. In that pole shed or...
It's to keep the equipment in the building. Mm-hmm. I mean, I've got steel beams and stuff that would be...
Storage and whatnot.
Okay. He's talking about the steel stuff over in here.
Yeah.
Which is the far side of them.
It will be behind that building.
Yeah. I mean, is your idea putting some kind of something along here so you don't see the building or whatever?
Would that be a possibility?
To hide a 9,000 square foot building?
No, the open area between the buildings. Between the house and the old building.
Well, that's a pretty good...
It's still ground now.
Okay, so what we're probably looking at as far as anything that we don't want to look at was probably stored materials stored on the property, like you said, some I-beams or but that's going to be stored behind a building, is what I understand. That is going to be stored behind a building.
There's an area in here, he's on the thing there.
This is Deaver.
The idea of putting something between the house and here, that's a long piece.
No, she didn't ask for that. Her property isn't to the north.
To the top of the page.
Yeah, it's Hurdle's right there.
This says William T. Hurdle.
Yeah, that's Bill and Betty Hurdle.
I don't feel better.
Yeah, and that's, Jeez was just talking about the operation itself, you know, just so that.
They have a farming operation herself. They got equipment all over.
Well, they may want to develop that property, though, so.
Well, and my comment is, if they do develop it, and Mr. Lank can confirm, they have to put a 30-foot buffer in as a subdivision requirement, between Mr. Davidson and them. That would typically be a vegetated buffer.
We won't have any kind of border on this property when he goes into business there.
Right, but that buffer would be required in their subdivision if they put that in. That's something to keep in mind as well.
Okay. That's fine, but I just can't picture what it is that, I tell you the truth, I wish I could do something about it, but I just can't picture.
Just for the record, since Mr. Davidson was called to go up front to have a conversation, that conversation was strictly about where he was placing the I-beams that he indicated, and I don't think the mics could pick him up, roughly 3 to 4 feet high, and they would probably be to the south side of the building, which would be the building would block any view from the Hurdle property anyway, if that was the case.
Yeah, I think I have no problem with that. And then do we need to say something about that buffer?
Well, let's close. We'll close the public hearing.
Yes.
And close public record. That's okay with council.
Yes.
And then it wants to make a motion to amend something.
Yes. The first question that was brought up of Ms. Gilmore was the hours of operation indicated that oftentimes in the summer they start work earlier and would like to have that moved to 6 a.m. instead of 7 a.m. And if someone would like to make a motion, if that's your desire.
The afternoon stays 5 o'clock.
Yes.
Say it again?
I just asked if the afternoon hour changed. It's 5 o'clock according to the commission's recommendation.
It's 5 p.m.
You got to shut down 5 o'clock when it's light until.
Oh, I know. I don't disagree. That's why I asked. Mm-hmm.
That was what I heard during the hearing, that they would just like the 6 a.m.
Mm-hmm. There's a subdivision right next door.
So if there's not a motion.
Anyone's going to make a motion? No motion I'm hearing, so we're moving forward.
Well, actually, his work's not right. He's not here anyway. It was just a place to drive his equipment. He's really had on to move houses and barns and everything else somewhere else. So it's not a big.
Okay. All right.
Not a big deal.
Okay.
Well, now we're talking about the hours.
Correct.
Well, that's what I'm saying, but he's not here at this position. This might be the business where he parks his stuff.
Got you.
But he's out, God knows where. He may be north of Sussex County somewhere.
That's right.
Moving barns and houses and everything else. So it's not, the work's not really there. It's just a place to hang out, keep his plate and stuff.
I mean, Mr. Moore, if he wanted to leave the yard at 6 o'clock in the morning, this condition wouldn't prevent him from leaving, would it?
I think that would go more into enforcement. Mr. Lank, what position does the planning zoning take on that?
The real activity here, the hours are basically on the premise. It says 6 a.m. to 5 p.m.
It says 6 or 7.
Oh, well, it said 7 now, but you were just saying 6.
Right, but nobody. Yeah. Okay.
But Mr. Phillips's question was, if we had stayed this way and they just, the workers went there, opened up for the purposes of picking up equipment and leaving at 6,
shouldn't be there before 6. You're being specific about the hours of operation. So if the workers are there, then the clock starts.
Okay.
That part of morning, I don't think is any problem because you wouldn't get me out of bed before 6 o'clock. Well, I have good work. But I'm thinking about at nighttime, long hours sometimes, they may not get in.
That's why I asked the question about the 5 p.m.
That's a good question. I think that I don't see anything wrong with this guy. Since I don't see any really neighbors right here that can be concerned, I don't see any reason why are we worried about the hours.
Now, we live next door to a lot of construction, right. And they stop after 7 p.m. They stop work.
Well,
And it's really working out great in our community, so I'm, you know.
I'm used to chicken trucks going over my place. I don't grow chicken.
I have a rooster.
And I see all this stuff. I don't worry. Many go by and at the end of it, so I don't.
Does anyone care to make a motion to amend this?
I would like to let him have it a longer time to stay open.
And what would those hours be?
I think he said he wanted 1 hour more than
6 a.m.
Yes, how much?
That what you asked for? What'd you ask for?
Yeah. No, he said that shut down.
6 a.m.
And what were you looking for?
6 a.m.
6 would be fine. Yeah, but
he
said
it was 7 to 5. You wanted 6 to 5. Now what do you want? 6 to 6?
Yeah, 6 to 6.
I'll make that motion.
Yeah, make that. I'll second it.
Okay.
We have a motion and a second to amend item
I
to change the hours from 6 a.m. to 6 p.m.
And instead of 6 a.m.
So in place of 7 a.m. to 5 p.m.
That is correct.
Yeah.
Okay. We'll take a vote on this motion. Mrs. Deaver?
Yes.
Mr. Phillips?
Yes.
Mr. Wilson?
Yes.
I would, yes, motion carried. Next thing was what?
A question about the buffer along the one side in reference to Mr. Urquhart's letter. And if council desires to add that, there would need to be a condition added for that.
Well, wouldn't that be the same for Mr. Urquhart when he develops? I mean, at what point wouldn't he have to put up a buffer as well?
Yes, he will.
That's correct.
Just the same as the hurdles would have to?
Correct. Anyone care to make a motion to address that issue? Okay.
Okay. So,
in that case, then we'll entertain a motion.
Want me to read the
short
title?
Read short title first.
Yes. An ordinance grant a conditional use of land in an AR1 agricultural residential district for a professional office with contractor storage to be located on a certain parcel of land lying and being in Indian River 100, Sussex County, containing 4.6425 acres, more or less, tax map ID 2-34-10-70.16, based on the reasons given by planning and zoning in items 1 through 6 and conditions A through I.
And that would be
As amended.
Amended.
Okay. I'll make that motion.
I have a motion, Mr. Phillips, second, Mr. Wilson, to approve, let me back up here a minute, conditional use 1978.
Yes.
For the reasons and with the conditions lettered A through I as amended. Questions on the motion?
No.
Take the vote, Mrs. Deaver.
Vote yes, for the reasons given by planning and zoning and with the conditions as amended, proposed by planning and zoning and amended by us. And I think it's a business that is needed by the community and by the county, as a matter of fact. And I do think it's an appropriate location. And I appreciate where the applicant has said they're storing most of their contractor equipment. I appreciate that it will be stored behind that building. So, thank you.
Mr. Phillips.
Based on the record and recommendation of planning and zoning and seeing that it's an appropriate application in a location that will not cause too much disruption, especially in light of the conditions, I vote yes.
Mr. Wilson.
My yes is same as PNC's. Yes.
Also, based on the recommendations and the findings of planning and zoning and with the conditions they placed on it, it does seem like it would not do any immeasurable disruption out there in that community. It's a business that's certainly well used. I'll vote yes, motion carried.
Thank you. The next item is change of zone 1742, Seaside Communities, RDC, LLC.
This is an application to amend the comprehensive zoning map of Sussex County from an AR1 agriculture residential district to a MRRPC medium density residential plan community for a certain parcel of land lying and being in Lewis and Rehoboth 100, Sussex County, on a parcel containing 37.516 acres, more or less, land lying northeast corner of Route 24, also known as John J. Williams Highway, and Tanglewood Drive, which is a private street providing access to Briarwood Estate Subdivision and being identified more specifically as Tax Map ID District 334, Map 18, Parcel Number 40. The Planning and Zoning Commission held public hearing on this application on February 13. During the public hearing, the commission had reviewed an exhibit booklet received on January 31st of 2014. There were comments from the County Engineering Department, Utility Planning Division. We received a letter from Paul Townsend, president of J.G. Townsend Jr. and Company Frozen Foods, provided a letter in support of the application. We had received an email from Stephen Britz in opposition to the application. Dean Byard, Esquire of Morris James Wilson Harbrook and Byard, LLP, was present on behalf of the applicant with Frank Key and Jason Palkowitz, both of Solutions IPEM. Also in attendance and in support on behalf of the applicant was Ed Lene of Environmental Resources Incorporated, all giving testimony into the record as part of their presentations. Jeff Merritt, owner-operator of Sussex Tree, a neighboring property owner, was present and questioned, raised questions about berms and landscaping. James Snyder, a resident of Hart's Landing, was present, not specifically in opposition, but expressed some concerns. All those concerns and statements were a part of the record. On February 13th, there was a motion by Mr. Smith, seconded by Mr. Burton, carried unanimously to defer action for further consideration, to leave the record open for Mr. Johnson's participation, if he so chooses, and for receipt of the Technical Advisory Committee comments. And that motion carried 4-0. To date, the commission has not yet made a recommendation on this application. So we stand in deferral from the commission. And I believe that's all I have.
Any questions from council?
No, I just wanted to confirm that it's the horse farm. And what is the, do you think the number of units will be built there under that proposed?
Oh, my memory here. If I can find it.
I'm just, you know, looking at that, between that and the idea of a subdivision.
The regulations would allow them to have up to 151 units. They're proposing 115.
Mm-hmm. But under a subdivision, how many would? AR1.
Oh, we have to ask that question of the applicant.
Mm-hmm.
Right. We'd have to ask that question of the applicant and a part of their presentation that may be included.
Well, I'm talking about our zoning and what we, as zoned now.
Well, if you went by zoning now,
right,
and strictly an AR subdivision,
as it is,
it would be approximately 2 units to the acre, 74.
74, okay, thank you. That's what I mean.
They're applying for a residential plan community,
yes,
on this project.
If there are no other questions, Mr. Byard.
Thank you, Mr. Moore. Good afternoon. For the microphone, Gene Byard on behalf of the applicant. I have a considerable cast of characters. Frank Key and Jason Palkowitz from IPEM Solutions. Frank's the project designer, Jason's the project engineer. Ed Lene, the project environmental consultant. Derek Kennedy, the project's traffic consultant. He's here to address concerns raised at the Planning and Zoning Commission about Route 24 and traffic in the area. And last but not least, the developers, Dan and Mark McGreevy. Frank, if we could move things along. You have a board to put on the easel. Frank's credentials are in the record and in the project booklet, so I'll, in the interest of time, skip that. Frank, if you could take the council on a quick tour of the neighborhood.
Yes, and for the record, it's Frank Key with Solutions IPEM here in Georgetown.
The location of the property, as you know, it is the Windswept Farm on Route 24. It's adjacent to Hart's Landing, and it's almost adjacent to the proposed new school site, middle school site, and the police and EMT station. As far as the the site plan is concerned, it's very, very straightforward. The entrance to the property is at the current entrance to the windswept farm on the ridgetop, and then it's a loop around a low spot in the property with homes organized around that open space. An important aspect of this property is that it's got a lot of topography, unlike most of the projects that we deal with. In fact, it's fairly unique and fairly dramatic. This board is a terrain model, and we don't get to do these here very often. What this represents is the contours on the property. You have it in your book as well, but the light areas are the high points, the dark areas are the low points. The differences in the colors are graduated in 1 foot increments as it goes downhill. So you can see that there's as much as 12 feet of vertical change on the property, which is unique. So in terms of organization, the entry road comes in on the ridge. It arrives at a view over the open space with the recreation facility right where the barn is today on the high point on the property. Then the road follows the ridge lines down around in this loop, and then the homes are organized so that they are generally running downhill from front to back. They're not dramatic enough in terms of topography to do walkout basements, but it's fairly dramatic, and that's how we arrived at the land plan. It is a proposal for 115 homes. It's proposed as a residential planned community. We have done a traffic impact study. In this case, the study was paid for by the developer by paying into the fund, and DelDOT's consultant did the traffic study. The TIS was issued, or the TIS letter with recommendations for improvements that'll be covered later, but the developer is participating in the improvements to Route 24. The project is also an investment level 2 in terms of state spending strategies. It is located within the low to medium density area of the comprehensive plan, as well as being within the environmentally sensitive development area. As organized, the plan has sidewalks on both sides of the road, street lights. There's a pool, tot lot, picnic areas. There are 2 wetland areas on the site that will be discussed more fully later. One is the Hetty Fisher Pond, which is a coastal glade. The other is the wetland area that's adjacent to Sussex Tree that's right up against Route 24. We're proposing no impact to those wetlands, and in fact, set back away from them, so we're not right up against those wetlands at all.
Before you go any further, does pond have an exit, or is it just a hole there?
Which pond?
One to your left, right where you're right there.
Hetty Fisher Pond, no exit.
No accident. So it just fills up and that's it?
Yes, sir. It perks.
What's a natural one, Sam? They're going to put a stormwater retention pond in the middle, it looks like, right?
We'll address that with Mr. Lanay's testimony. Okay. Some of you may be familiar with the term of Delmarva Bay.
It'd be a better pond if it had a way of
unique,
getting too much
feature
water to go out.
The peninsula.
Right, but I don't know.
A pond fills up, you know, if you don't have no exit.
Frank, would you describe the site as from a planning point of view, as a challenge or an opportunity?
Well, it's very much more of an opportunity. The chance to have an overlook, of as much as 12 feet of vertical separation here is unique in my experience. The only other one that I can think of was actually what we call Marine Farm at the time, which is the Coastal Club today, and it had quite a lot, but that's the only other one I've been involved with.
Can you talk briefly about the character and trend of development of the 24-275 corridor?
While the trend of development continues at obviously a slower pace than we once had, but it certainly is developing from Route 1 outward. In fact, there are quite a number of similar projects in the area. This exhibit, which is also booklet, is of residential planned communities are all of the projects that have the green asterisk. Those include projects like Hart's Landing, which is an RPC right next door, where the only thing between the project and it is the Briarwood entrance.
The Retreat at Love Creek is another nearby RPC, which actually was developed by the same developers that are the applicants here today. The Coastal Club that I mentioned before is nearby, which is also an RPC. It, too, was developed by or entitled by the current developers. The Plantations, of course, Nassau Grove, and the reserves at Lewis Landing are also nearby, and those, too, were developed by Dan and Mark McGreevy. There's the Cape Medical Campus, Heritage Village, Woods Cove, Summercrest, Cedar Valley, the villages of Old Landing, Sawgrass North and South. There are quite a number of, as you can see, similar projects or developments in the area.
Given the character of development and the pace of development, would you describe this project as an infill?
Oh, very much so, yes.
My understanding of the project will be under a condominium regime. Is there a particular reason for that?
Yeah, what we found through market analysis and also by doing traffic counts of nearby neighborhoods, about 70% of the buyers are second home buyers that are getting into the market, moving to retire and retirees, and about 30% of the buyers actually have families. And it's actually that 30% that keeps accreting that's causing the need for the schools in the area. We expect the same buyer profile in the neighborhood here. And as a consequence, we chose, these are single-family homes, just like any other single-family home, but with a condominium ownership regime. That way, the grounds can be taken care of consistently, as opposed to, you know, brown yards and green yards and things like that you get with lots. And the roads can be taken care of properly and so forth, and that's the reason.
Is there a regional or area example of a condominium regime single-family development?
The first one that comes to mind is Nassau Grove out by the Route 1 bridge over the railroad tracks, again by the same developer. In that case, the houses are more traditional looking. They're a little wider. Another example that you may be familiar with are other examples that you can see in Figure 22 of your booklet would be Sea Colony, where single-family homes were developed by Freeman. The Nassau Grove homes, for example, sell for, when they were selling, in low 400s, high 300s. The Sea Colony single-family detached homes sell for the ones that are in the back about $950, and the ones that are in the front in excess of $1 million. Ellis Point is another example that happens to be in the Bethany area, and Sunset Harbor is another example.
So they're all RPCs is what you're putting as a comparison.
Well, they're all RPCs, but they're also condominiumized single-family detached homes, yes.
Gotcha. You mentioned Nassau Grove. Is that development still ongoing?
No, they've sold their way through it. In fact, it sold at about 3.5 homes per month during the worst of times.
That's all I have of Frank for the time being. I'm sure there'll be more. Ed, if you could come forward and introduce yourself.
I'm Ed Lene. I'm president of Environmental Resources located in Selbyville, Delaware.
And you are the project consultant?
Yes.
With permission, Mr. Moore, I'm going to hand a copy of a summary of Mr. Lene's testimony to council for review while he speaks.
Thank you.
Ed, can you describe the site in its present condition?
I did a comprehensive walkthrough of the site, and in addition to that, also performed a delineation of the wetlands on the property. It's a 37.5-acre site. Not quite 4.5 acres consists of woodlands, and within those woodland areas, there are two wetland areas on the site. As Frank mentioned, there's quite a bit of topographic relief. I believe the upper range ridge of the site is around elevation 25, and that goes down to about elevation 12. The two wetland areas I mentioned are found at elevations at and below 8 feet.
Have you performed a wetlands delineation?
Yes, I performed a wetlands delineation, and that's been surveyed, and a report prepared by my office has been submitted to the Corps of Engineers for their review and final approval.
Is my understanding that the project proposes no disturbance to the woods or the wetlands?
There's a slight, there's no disturbance to any wetland areas. There's going to be some minimal disturbance to some of the wooded areas on the site, which are basically around the perimeter edge. I would mention that in relation to one of the wetlands, which is Hetty Fisher, which is wetlands and waters associated with a Delmarva Bay, known as Hetty Fisher Pond.
Can you point that out to council, please?
It's on this drawing, it shows up pretty well. This is Route 24. This is the Hetty Fisher Pond here. This is the other larger wetland, about a 1.7 acre wetland area here. And this complex right here, you can see this open water area. This is all Hetty Fisher Pond. About an acre and a half exists on the current property.
Where, on whose property is the balance of the pond?
The balance of the pond is actually a good amount of the pond is part of, this is the Briarwood Estates project, and a good amount of the pond on this side is actually part of these single-family residential lots.
Am I correct that the project is intended to minimize any impact on Hetty Fisher Pond?
Yes.
Essentially, the existing woods, upland woods that borders Hetty Fisher Pond, will remain undisturbed as part of the project.
Are there any present impacts on Hetty Fisher Pond, if you know?
There are currently,
this is Tanglewood Drive right here. And currently, stormwater is collected along Tanglewood Drive in two drainage channels. It basically drains via another drainage channel in the Hetty Fisher Pond here. You know, this subdivision was probably created before we had current stormwater management criteria in effect. So there is no stormwater management facility for that runoff. And then currently, pretty much these residences, because the backyards back up to the pond, there's a good amount of landscaping and yard work that, you know, has some impact probably on the edge of Hetty Fisher Pond.
Am I correct that the pond is a stormwater vehicle or facility for a couple of developments?
Well, there is stormwater. I wouldn't call it a stormwater facility, but as was mentioned earlier,
a Delmarva Bay, where it's basically there's no surface water outlet from the pond. So, you know, currently there is drainage, as I mentioned, that comes from Briarwood and from Tanglewood Drive that drains directly into the pond.
Can you give council a one-minute definition of a Delmarva Bay?
Well, I think I summed it up by saying it's basically a depressional area in the landscape, and seasonally, Delmarva Bays will dry up during the summer months, and during the winter months, they'll fill with some water. And what makes them unique is there's species such as tree frogs and so forth that depend upon that wet and dry cycle to utilize that as habitat.
In your experience in this area of Sussex County, how many other Delmarva Bays do you know?
Well, there's, this is Welch's Pond right up here. That's another example of one. There's easily probably, I wouldn't know exactly how many, Gene. I would say they're not uncommon. I would say there's at least 50 or 60 in Sussex County.
Thanks. Was a rare threatened and endangered species report commissioned?
I did contact the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service. There are no federally listed rare threatened and endangered species or habitats on the federally listed in accordance with the service. There were comments received in the plus comments from the Denrec Natural Heritage Program. Again, those comments really highlighted the fact that Hetty Fisher Pond does support two species of tree frogs, which are state rare. They are globally secure and are rare primarily because Delaware is really on the outside part of the range, so they're species that are abundant elsewhere.
In your capacity as the project's environmental consultant, can you summarize the prospective impacts of this project?
Well, as I mentioned, it's Hetty Fisher Pond is not totally a pristine environment. One of the things with the pond would be the water area of the pond itself, and then the species of interest actually occupy the wooded area around the pond. So as I mentioned, that none of those woodlands are going to be impacted by the development. There's generally about a 50-foot buffer from the wetland area to the rear of the nearest building. And then essentially, as Frank mentioned, that I think it's going to be beneficial that the property be managed in terms of the condominium association type of management, because then there'll be a uniform way of handling how the lawn areas and areas behind these buildings would be managed.
That would be drawn up in advance, before even purchasing.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Right. And the other thing is that, there is a comprehensive stormwater management plan that's designed as part of this project. As I understand it, the way the project is now, and this is just roughly me speaking, looking at the general topography, about two-thirds of the site actually drain toward SR-24. Roughly about a third of the site, has a flow path that would be directed to the low area around Hetty Fisher Pond. As these streets and the current site, as we mentioned, is an existing horse farm, so we're taking that use and the impacts from that, replacing them with a residential use. All the stormwater from all the roads, the urbanized stormwater, will be directed towards a couple other small stormwater management ponds that are located well away from Hetty Fisher Glade and that large central pond. There is going to be an avenue to collect some runoff from behind these, I think it's seven units that would be closest to Hetty Fisher Pond. There'll be a bio infiltration strip there, so there'll be no untreated runoff that would get into Hetty Fisher Pond. And in addition, I didn't mention that the other thing with the topography on the site is that the site really consists of some of the more well-drained, more well-suited to development soils in Sussex County. So these soils have a pretty good infiltration rate, and there's really no evidence that I can find that any stormwater currently really, gullies or signs of erosion, that water is coming off this site and going to Hetty Fisher Pond, and I believe that will continue to be the case with the stormwater management proposed.
Thanks, Ed. Jason, how are you? Jason Palkowitz will be doing the nuts and bolts of county ordinance. Jason, if you could introduce yourself.
Jason Palkowitz with Solutions IPM here in Georgetown.
You are a licensed Delaware engineer.
Correct.
Source of water to the project?
Is going to be Tidewater Utilities.
Sewer?
Sussex County, the Gosley expansion.
You've heard Ed speak. As an engineer, have you found any significant stormwater management issues on site?
None that can't be handled. Again, we treat that pond the right way. And to do that, we need to make sure that the water that goes there today continues to go there and that we don't increase the water going there so that it will function like it does today naturally.
Let's talk about open space. What percentage of the property will remain in open space?
15 acres, about 40%.
What amenities are proposed on the site?
There is a pool, pool slash clubhouse, tot lots, picnic areas. Generally, the view is at another amenity, too, because this is a ridge through here, and it's going to be looking down over the pond. And then buffers.
And the existing barn will be the community building?
That is the current intent.
Take, Council, please, on a quick trip through 99-9C, the elements required in any subdivision review.
Yeah, this is all in your book. On pages 11 through like 22, so I'm not going to go through all of that with you. But as talked about, we are maintaining the forest areas on site. We aren't disturbing any wetlands. We have public water, public sewer. We're having sidewalk on both sides of the road. Again, with the condo regime, there'll be trash service to provide to the site. And the grading, again, having the ridge along the road minimizes the grading to the site and minimizes the disturbance.
Any impact on schools?
No, there's new schools being proposed just down the road.
I suspect that impact's already occurred. As a commercial for the referendum, that's on April 2nd, if I'm not mistaken.
I'd like you to vote yes.
Moving on. The environmentally sensitive developing district overlay zone.
Yes.
County Ordinance 1842. Can you
yes.
touch on that briefly?
That is also in the book on page 20. And they're very similar to the Ordinance 99 ones, but there is public water and sewer. We have addressed Dell.com comments for access, and they'll be further discussed. The project has gone to PLUS. And a PLUS response has been prepared. Again, the wetlands.
Any significant issues in the PLUS comments?
No.
The process has also been through the Technical Advisory Committee?
Correct.
And those comments can be addressed and resolved?
Yes. There's one comment in there that we got from DenRec that talks about the big large pond on the site. And quite frankly, the stormwater management has not 100% designed yet. We'll do that with the conservation district. And with current regulations, we have to treat the water in alternate ways before it even can get to the pond. So what they're saying is that we need to do alternate BMPs, which we will, and we know we will. The pond is it could get a little bigger, it could get a little smaller based on the final design.
You're talking about, the storm water, not the natural pond, the...
Correct.
Right. Yes. Okay.
Yeah. And there are other BMPs throughout the site that will happen.
Well, we know that they're going to happen. Right.
I wonder what the difference of the height there between where the house sits and the pond. The pond at the very
water level.
Water level.
Is that condition?
Meaning in here.
From there to back to the house here. We wonder what water.
The current pond is about elevation 11 or 12.
Yeah, I'm not talking about the depth of the bottom.
I'm
not talking.
Sure.
11 feet between.
No. The elevation is 11, and the back of these homes in here, for example, are 17. These are 24. So you're 24 all the way down to an 11.
About 11 feet.
Yeah, to the water surface, and then the top of the pond will be taller than that for storage. Okay. But that's just right in there. The rest of these, it's not as dramatic.
With no water leaving the site in a overflow stream or what have you, is there any concern about capacity in that pond?
In this pond, no, because we're going to put what goes there back there. What goes to that pond is this area in here today, and we're going to manage it back down so that the same amount of water for the two, the 10 and 100-year storm will go that way. The primary outfall from the site is actually under Route 24, and what we have to do is over-manage the rest of the site so that it again, matches what's going there today.
And then where's it going from 24?
It follows a...
Love Creek? Or
it's quite low and quite wet.
Yes. Yeah, we've met with the Conservation District on it, and they want us to look at that capacity in that swale right there as part of our design.
Are you're aware, being an engineer, and knows whether it gets... The more the springs come up, you automatically are going to get your pond full without really this water that's coming over, the excess water. And I'm not, I mean, I'm for I'm 100% property rights and trying to do what's right here, but I'm just right. trying to say there's no way that we can. I saw this in reality. I've saw this in many places where the water was out, where these ponds have been dug on high land, and they drained water down into them. This was their way of doing it, and they drained the water down, and the spring came up, and actually the pond got full and ran over, and went down the roads of this development, and it was 4 or 5 months before it ever got water off in the roads because it had no outlets. The springs came up, and it just flooded everything.
You understand what he's saying about the springs coming up.
Right, right.
Jason, is there a factor placed into your calculations to account for the natural water that's going to collect in that pond as water tables in general increase?
Yes, and correct me if I'm wrong, but this, we need to keep water going to this, correct, so that it doesn't dry out?
It won't dry it in when it's wet springs, I'll guarantee you. But when the spring goes down,
make sure we're all talking about the same pond. I don't know. Yeah. He's talking about the pond in the center.
I don't care which pond it is, George.
He's talking about the stormwater retention pond, I believe.
We're on the same page, George.
No, George, we're on the same page. I'll get this straight. Either pond, I don't care which pond, as long as it ain't got an exit. But it ain't got an exit. They collect water, and it's the outside one. You're going to try to drain to that, run around. That pond, I guarantee you, will run over. If it only be one of the first ones I ever saw.
This pond does have an outfall. The on-site stormwater management pond has an outfall under 24.
Right here. Fisher does.
But the other one doesn't.
Correct.
And you already got people from the other side, lives over on the other side of the line, that's already draining into it.
Right, right.
So you're already, so it's already got some.
This property currently already drains to it.
I agree, and I'm also talking about the other people's already got homes there.
Right. The fact is, but they didn't have any stormwater management when they did theirs.
But that doesn't make it right for us to say that you should drain water around there because they wasn't prepared for it.
Can I interject?
Sure.
Frank, the amount of water that goes from this site into this pond today, we have to keep that same amount of water going to that pond. We can't alter it either to more or less. If we do, it will damage that environment. So the way we would engineer it is such that the amount of water that's here gets managed first, cleaned up, then released into that pond at the same amount so that it doesn't change the balance in there at all.
So
the remainder of the water goes out the other way.
So when a spring comes up, you're going to push it back this way? Is that how you're going to balance it? Are you going to balance it?
No, but when the spring water comes up,
it
comes up anyway.
Sure it does.
The amount of water that's coming off the site still comes off the site, even when the springs are up.
Right.
We're not going to change that, not at all.
I agree.
Sam, they ran that original existing pond. There's wetlands that absorb extra additional water at different times of the year. The man-made one is a different story. So they're trying to keep the natural one natural. That's all. They can't touch it. DNRAC doesn't want you to touch it.
Right.
Right? Nobody wants
it. Because it has the, right, because I mentioned before there's a fluctuation of water that makes that a unique habitat. So it gets wet, it's part of the year, and part of the year it dries down.
Well, you already said it's going to be dry at certain times of year, and dry spells is going to be dry, and wet spells is going to be wet, so you can't keep it.
So nobody wants to mess with that.
Well, you can't come to this idea and say it's going to keep the same level. I mean, who are you kidding here?
They're not messing with that pond.
I never said they were going to keep the same.
I didn't say you were. I didn't say you said that.
Okay. The way we deal with the water, when it goes dry, it will go dry the same way it does today. When it's wet, it'll be wet the same way it is today. We're engineering it so that it won't change the way it functions now. We're not saying it's going to be drier or wetter. It's going to do just what it does today, no different.
That's their attempt, Sam.
I know.
You understand?
I know. I've been down there. I've been down this route. Same route. I don't know exactly what you're talking. Not the same place, but the same route.
Route 24?
And I saw it, what has happened to it. The neighbors ran the water up on a higher piece of land. Believe it or not, had a hole big enough you could bury this room 3 times in. And the water ran over on the neighbors, who was a little bit lower, and flooded everything. And what happened? The springs came up. And when the springs came up and all the rain came, the water ran in besides, the pond ran over. And it's got to go somewhere where it runs over. And there's lesser pressure, lesser resistance, and it don't act as a sponge no more. Here comes the water. And, I mean, in reality, this is the way it works. On paper, it doesn't work that way, and I agree with you. And it sounds good. I'm just saying, reality, it's another story. That's my opinion. That's the way I've seen it work, and that's the way I understand it.
That's a job for the Soil Conservation Service, Mr. Wilson.
I've only been around a few years, so what do I know?
Jason, moving on. let's talk about the elements of superior design. What is captured in this project?
Again, we have the views, which we talked about, and the grade change is a unique opportunity with this site. We are providing buffers around the entire property, including the existing businesses that are there. And we are providing amenities, such as the pool and the rec facility.
I got a quick question for you. Are there any, now we've heard about how important those wetland areas and those ponds are there any activities planned in those wetland areas, those 404 areas? No activity. Any activities?
No.
Any recreational activity?
Inside the wetlands?
Well, inside those areas that are set aside for, that are sensitive.
No.
In fact, okay. Mr. Cole, at the planning...
You wouldn't mind that being a condition that they don't put any walking trails or do anything like that?
In fact,
words, around Heady Pond or something is...
At the Planning and Zoning Commission hearing, there was discussion of signage at the demarcation between high ground and wetlands, letting residents and guests know.
That's fine.
To stay out of the wetlands.
I'm just curious about actually physical, I mean, building something, making pay, or whatever. So there are no activities planned in those areas.
Correct.
The idea is to keep them.
You have amenities already planned elsewhere. Okay,
that's all.
So there's no problem if that's one of the conditions, right?
Signage was something even talked about. Sorry, you were interrupted.
That was about it.
Can you point, just for the record, Jason, on area map to the location of the proposed school in relation to the site?
This is the site, and this is where the proposed school is.
Delaware State Police are negotiating the acquisition of a site nearby. Where is that in relation to the site?
Okay, right here.
And where's Hart's Landing?
Pardon me?
Where's Hart's Landing?
Hart's
right
Landing
over that
is,
side.
Is to the west.
That's Hart.
Yeah.
Mr. Byard, could you ask them to ask your witness to testify if they're north, south, west for the people
Jason,
listening on the internet?
Accommodate Mr. Moore's request.
The school is generally northeast, and the police station is only north.
And Hart's Landing and Briarwood
is west or southwest.
Does it slope down towards Hart's Landing? Does the ground slope
down? Oh,
downward?
Does the ground slope?
Mm-hmm.
Well,
is this higher ground traditional? I mean, generally. I now remember Hart's Landing had some issues. Mm-hmm.
Generally, the water, Hart's Landing is over here. Generally, it comes in like a bowl like this.
Mm-hmm.
This is so that our outfall is in essence the low point
of
the two properties.
All right. Won't affect is what you're saying.
Correct. There's actually a road there that we
mm-hmm.
can't even cross.
That's all I have with Jason. If Derek had come forward.
Look, let me ask you, maybe it's his area. I'm reading the TAC review here, and it basically talked about buffers again from different things, wetlands, I think it is federal wetlands. And in the TAC report, it said they had some studies that suggested 100 feet in width is what the research and all that stuff says. And then your response, when they referenced 100-foot minimum would be the best and what they would like, your response was, although no buffers from tidal wetlands is required in Sussex County, adequate setbacks have been provided. Could you tell me what those adequate setbacks?
For Ed, but
no buffers are required?
Well, none are required from our county code, right, Gene?
That's correct.
So you've implied that there are some setbacks. I know they're not 100 feet. What I just would like to know in generally or an average, what would they be?
Yeah,
I think they're referencing from the federal wetlands. So the areas that you abut federal wetlands, what kind of buffers are you providing?
Around the pond of much discussion.
Okay. Example.
We are keeping the trees, and the trees are the habitat.
Right.
They're the buffers. So that's
mm-hmm.
that's why.
But how many feet?
It's 30 to 50 feet.
Okay, and then there's still green grass to the building?
Yes.
After that, okay.
Yes.
So about 30 feet?
Of woods.
Okay.
And then further back to the house.
Okay. How about in the other area?
And down here, it's the same thing. We're keeping the wooded area of the wetlands, and then the buildings are back 30 to 50 feet.
And then did you reference that there was some kind of drainage type of system or something you may use to
prevent runoff from, like, say, fertilizers and other things going that way, or is it, or do you allow runoff into the wetland?
We actually have to treat all the water on site.
Okay.
So we have to treat whatever comes off the back of those.
Okay. Okay. Other questions of Jason before we get to Derek?
No.
Thanks, Jason. Derek, if you could identify yourself.
Good afternoon. My name is Derek Kennedy with Verbinski Engineering.
Derek, you were the project's traffic consultant?
Yes.
At the Planning and Zoning Commission, a number of concerns and valid questions were raised by neighbors, and I thought it would be useful if you prepared a chart or a summary of what DLDOT plans for this corridor. Can you take council through what the current construction plans are?
Sure.
DLDOT. Mr. Moore, with permission, I'd like to hand this up to council.
Yes.
I have some extra copies for people in the audience. I don't think I have enough, but you're welcome to them.
On the board here, just to orient everyone, we have on 24, sort of on the east-west alignment here, Love Creek to the west, and Route 1 to the east is about a 2.5-mile section of roadway. What came out of the TIS process with DLDOT was some specific improvements for the development and mainly coordination with DLDOT on some other efforts that they have ongoing. The yellow section on the graphic is a section from Love Creeks down to a Nobody Roll intersection. It includes some widening, drainage improvements with, you know, the more significant widening happening at the Mulberry Knoll intersection to provide left turn lanes off of 24 onto the side streets.
Oh, you're going a little fast for me now. I live there, so go slow. Sure. I'm trying to figure out when you're saying these projects are scheduled, which I know, but when? Are you saying when?
These are projects that are in DLDOT's 5-year capital
right.
plan.
Right, yeah. Okay.
They're currently under design. They know what the improvements are going to be. Mm-hmm. They have funding secured for them in their plan. The yellow section, Love Creek to Mulberry Knoll, includes mainly the same cross section that's there today, two lanes, one each direction with shoulders. So they had some minor widening through there at the Mulberry Knoll intersection. They're widening to include left turn lanes off of 24 into the side streets, and then ultimately plans for a signal when it's warranted. It's not warranted today, but they envision that at some point in the future there would be a signal at that intersection.
But that has no effect on this development, does it? Their access point.
It's a capacity improvement at an intersection that has...
Right, but you're not talking about any changes in the entrance to this community, the one we're talking about.
Yes.
And an ability to come out and turn left.
Right. On this graphic, the yellow section kind of overlaps with what's shown in green. The green area are the limits of the improvements that the developer or this applicant would be making directly, which would be an overlay on the roadway, mm-hmm. building an entrance plan in DLDOT state standards. So that would include left turn lane, right turn lane into the site, ADA compliant crosswalks.
Center lanes, cuts. Is that what you're talking about? Center lanes down the road?
Yes, well, turn lanes. At the entrance itself, it wouldn't be a continuous center left turn lane in this section. It would be a left turn bay adequate to handle the traffic for the site itself. So not a continuous left turn lane. Then we taper back into the existing cross section of one lane each direction.
Going east, Derek, if you could take council through the rest of the proposed
improvements. The east section, highlighting in blue, is a separate second project that DLDOT has in their capital plan. Now, this section, a little more ambitious as far as the widening, where they are proposing two lanes each direction and a continuous center left turn lane mm-hmm. from Warrington Road heading down towards Route 1. And then, and additionally, at that same project, some widening at the Plantation Warrington Road intersection to include double left turn lanes coming off of the side street on the Route 24, and then again providing two lanes each direction on Route 24.
Derek, is it a fair guess that if this school referendum is approved and construction of a new school goes forward, that the traffic improvements contemplated by DLDOT will likely be accelerated?
Yeah, I think that is likely.
Likely also a traffic light at Mulberry Knoll Road.
Like the other school.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Maybe.
In terms of cost, you've got an 8-digit number there. Can you explain that?
Yeah, there's $15.4 million is what DLDOT has in their capital plan. So that's real money, you know, in their five-year plan. The way they have both of their projects set up, their federal highway projects, so typically the way that works, it's 80% federal highway money, 20% state money coming from DLDOT.
And where does the state find its 20% of the money?
20%, it's out of the, you know, the state's operating fund, but in this case, through the TIS process, through this applicant and other applicants along the corridor, there's fair share contributions that would come in. So 20%, roughly $3 million worth of improvements, where this applicant and other applicants would be contributing their fair share contribution towards those improvements.
Based on
somewhere
traffic.
We can see that? Is there somewhere we could look at all that, the numbers? Is there somewhere we can look at those numbers?
The number that, we
that
have
you're talking about right now, the contributions.
The contributions, mm-hmm. Well, it's to be determined.
Right, being negotiated, is what
yes.
You're saying.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, I think we've agreed in concept of the approach, but there's a lot of balls in the air with other developments. You know, the timeline, you know, this number may change
mm-hmm.
as, you know, they get okay. Closer to their construction period.
Ms. Deaver, if you remember the Redden Ridge project on Old Landing Road.
Yes.
That was approved last year. That traffic count is still being negotiated. The developer's contribution is still being negotiated. So, mm-hmm. As Derek says, it's a work in process.
Mm-hmm.
But the point to be made is that developers will contribute to the cost of the improvements to Route 24.
I appreciate that. Now, that's good on DLDOT's part. And, of course, you know the calls I'll get as soon as it's built, people move in. I can't get out of my development on 24. So that's what I keep looking at, you know. That's what I have to deal with, and they have to deal with.
It may be ancient history, but some of us are old enough to remember before statewide reapportionment in 1970, when there
I'm
were
not,
five
no,
senators from Sussex, five from Kent, and five from Newcastle. And the boys from Kent and Sussex may have been slower than the ones from Newcastle, but they could add five and five and get to 10. They controlled the budget in the state of Delaware for roads. And if you go back in memory, till 1970, Kent and Sussex County had the best roads in the state because that's where the money went for improvements.
It was divided up because of the land was so much more.
But when reapportionment happened,
yeah, mm-hmm.
13 senators all of a sudden came from Newcastle County.
Yeah, I know.
And that was the end of that game.
Well, none of us are old as you are and remember
no.
These vital facts.
You're almost as old, and you're on...
You remember that, don't
the Pac-9.
It's when they consolidated schools is when I think the end of the thing came. Anyway.
Hmm. Well, on that subject, I was going to say more, but I can't understand why they ever changed that, because senators
microphone.
Represent property, land,
microphone.
And representatives represent people, and I never understand why they changed that. But anyway, that's another subject for another mm-hmm. day.
That's our General right. Assembly.
Very interesting, though, Sam.
Eric, I don't have anything further of you. Thank you. If you all have questions of any of us, we'll be glad to try to answer them. This project, I think it's pretty clear, is consistent with the character and trend of development in the area. Given the clear and rising demand for residential housing in this area and the rate of absorption and the consistency of the project with what's in the area, I don't see any adverse impact. This is and will be thoughtfully designed. And for the first time in my experience, and George, I'm old, that's almost 40 years of doing this work. DLDOT confirms that the proposed development is in level two and is completely consistent with the State Quality of Life Act. Never seen that from DLDOT before. DLDOT also said that it's consistent with the county's comprehensive plan. Now, if DLDOT says it must be true. If you look at page 11 and 12 of DLDOT's own TIS, it's right there to read. Again, we'll answer any questions you have.
Any questions from council? If not, did you have any other witnesses, Mr. Byrd?
Just to introduce Mark and Dan McGreevy, who were in the back, who
okay.
Have developed a number of successful projects.
One of them used to have hair when I last saw them. What happened?
That's what the doctor did to
that's
me.
A new style, George.
Thank you. Is there anyone else here today that would like to speak in favor of this application?
There's somebody who wants to talk.
Can dance.
That's my boy.
Well, he got up fast, didn't he?
Yes, he did. Anyone else that would like to speak in favor of this application?
Must have been high water.
Seeing none, is there anyone here today that would like to speak in opposition to this application? Sir?
From the snow.